Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Coldplay will be the first concert at Camp Randall since 1997 when the Stones played Camp Randall. Also, U2 played Camp Randall that year.
That was going to be my guess for last big show there.
Yeah.
U2. Stones play. Gosh, I don't remember that.
1997. It's been nearly 30 years since I didn't realize that. That's a long time between shows.
You didn't realize 1997 was that long ago? And that all the time. Oh. No, that was just not that long ago. Nah, dude. That was a quarter century ago.
Oof.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Who are Kirk and Leslie? It's your trivia for this morning. Eric, you already know you can't play. If you're riding along with us or just waking up, who are Kirk and Leslie? They are important names, but not as important as another name I will share here. Kirk and Leslie.
Sound like a nice couple.
Yeah. Well, actually, the question really should be, what are Kirk and Leslie? They are the other two hurricanes in the Atlantic right now, along with Hurricane Milton. That is the storm of greater concern this morning, and as it is expected to make landfall on the mainland U.S. later this week.
You know, now that this new storm is coming, it's like, well, we're back in preparation mode.
That's a guy in Tampa, Florida, sandbagging, exhausted already.
We're just trying to put, you know, one foot in front of the other and just keep moving forward. You know, definitely exhausted from this past week.
Yeah, think about this, guys. So Tampa, very concerned that Hurricane Milton will make landfall there, perhaps Wednesday as a major hurricane. Milton now in the Gulf of Mexico, gaining strength. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Milton is expected to make landfall Wednesday, potentially hitting the Tampa Bay area as a Category 3 storm with winds up to 129 miles per hour and remaining a hurricane as it moves across central Florida. More than a foot of rain could fall in addition to rain already falling from a separate storm system. Voluntary evacuations already underway.
So this, of course, after Hurricane Helene battered Florida's Gulf Coast just a week and a half ago. So here's this guy. They're still cleaning up from that.
Just now, nonstop.
These folks are like, well, re-sandbag everything because another one is coming. So the exhaustion there on the Gulf Coast, meanwhile, the catastrophic damage really from Helene remains further inland in multiple states.
It comes after Hurricane Helene made landfall south of Tallahassee just 11 days ago, causing widespread damage into the Appalachian Mountains, killing at least 230 people across six states. Crews are quickly trying to clean up tons of debris from that storm before Milton hits. In western North Carolina, President Biden has ordered another 500 active duty troops to join the nearly 8,000 helping with storm recovery.
And so they are still in the thick of it in multiple states.
Just devastating. There's people just stranded, stuck, nowhere to go, no power.
The other two storms I did mention, E, are tracking east of the U.S. mainland. So Kirk and Leslie are not expected to make landfall in the U.S. It is notably, however, the first time there have been three simultaneous hurricanes in October in the Atlantic since recorded tracking has been available.
Usually this late in the season you wouldn't
right.
see that.
You wouldn't see that number. I guess we've had three going once in September, but this late in the season. But again, those other two, I don't know their full track, but they're going to stay east, it looks like, of the U.S. mainland. 6:13 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Meeting today at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur says he will sit down with wide receiver Romeo Doubs, suspended this week. Report from Sports Illustrated that Doubs is upset about something and didn't show up for practice twice.
I fully anticipate him coming back, and I'm hopeful that he'll come back and get ready to work. And like, distractions happen.
Distractions happen. Packers managed to recover and end up getting that win. But boy, if he was upset about how often he was being targeted, probably could have found some room for you out there yesterday.
Right? Come on now.
Needed you. On to the good. Packers 24-19 winners over the Rams Sunday. You know who has the most interceptions in the National Football League? Night Train Lane, 1942 Los Angeles Rams. How many did he get?
In 1 year?
In one season.
And 17. 40s,
I don't know how many games they were playing then, 12 maybe? So that's pretty remarkable. Hang that on the wall. He had 14.
Wow, okay.
14, that's a lot.
Eric, bold predictions. Bilstead guy is on pace to beat it.
Down the field, intercepted. And a fifth straight game. McKinney has an interception again.
You heard it there. Jim Mann, sir. CBS Sports on the call. Xavier McKinney grabs his fifth pick of the season. Eric absurdly predicted he'd have 10 on the year.
Now, he also got a fumble recovery, so I get a little extra point for that,
That's not a pick. He didn't say turnovers.
Dang.
Tausch said you may have underbolded your bold pick.
Yeah, I don't want to jinx it, Rob. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. I mean, the guy just has a knack for the football, and he's got great ball skills. He's very instinctive and smart to allow him to anticipate, to make plays, and then he genuinely makes the play.
And Packers have the Cardinals coming to Lambeau on Sunday. Unlike anything I've ever seen. I don't know. That might be some hyperbole. But
good.
Not a lot of guys
good.
Get five in a row.
Yeah.
Jordan Love, what do I have for him? 15 of 26, 224 yards passing, two touchdowns, one real bad interception. Yikes. Want to hear from him on that?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things you just got to be smart with the ball. You know, you look at last week and we're down, we're trying to make plays. So you're trying to force the ball and things like that. But it just comes down to being smart with the ball, and I got to do a better job with that.
Man, that was Favre-like, right? Like, dude, I don't know.
That wasn't good at all.
I see him working here. He got a second chance at life there. When I don't know why the defender didn't take him down.
You almost wonder if it actually was a detriment to the Rams that he threw the pick six. Otherwise, had he been tackled, that would have been two and the ball.
And then you get the ball back, right.
Weird.
That's a good point. So we have the Cardinals coming to town. That'll be a noon kick on Sunday.
The Vikings are 5-0. Are they for real? They beat Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in London early Sunday morning. The Bears beat up on the Panthers in Chicago. The Lions had a bye. Pewaukee's very own T.J. Watt making NFL history Sunday night. He is the second fastest player ever to reach the 100-sack plateau. He got Dak Prescott on Sunday night. Watt did it in 109 career games.
And the Steelers have forced the turnover. And T.J. Watt in the middle at the moment yet again.
That's how it sounded on NBC. There's only one who did it faster. Hall of Famer Reggie White was the fastest, doing so in 96 games. So how about that, T.J.
Pretty good
Watt.
Company.
Didn't see that one coming back when the Pirates were playing, did you? Anyway, Steelers are going to lose the game to the Cowboys on Sunday night, 20-17. Elsewhere, Bucks getting back to work. Preseason matchup with the Pistons on Sunday night. Not much of a game. Detroit blows them out 120-87. Giannis did not play. So there's that.
Meh.
Major League Baseball.
If you're asking me to get, I love my Bucks, but if you're asking me to get excited about preseason hoops with our guys not even playing.
Yep, it's a bit early. Dame played, though. Bobby played. The Phillies walk off the Mets. Take that, New York. The Padres beat the Dodgers. Both series are tied at one apiece.
Don't care. I'm sorry. I'm so out. I can't. I didn't watch a single baseball game this weekend.
I understand.
I can't. Cannot.
I understand.
Can't do it. 6:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
30 days from now, we're going to win the state of Wisconsin. We're going to defeat Kamala Harris.
Former President Donald Trump back in Wisconsin. The fourth time in the last 9 days the former president has been here. He was in Dodge County in Juneau at the airport there on Sunday afternoon. Spent a couple hours addressing supporters.
I don't like flies. Get out of here, fly. Never been a big fan of flies. You don't mind my bringing that up, do you? Anyway, this is a very aggressive sucker, though. This one. This one in particular is very aggressive. Like, I'm going to be aggressive for our country. You can probably say
that's how bad it came in. Looked like a huge crowd.
Yeah, the campaign says there's about 17,000 people there.
I saw that reported elsewhere.
I have no head counter, so I've no idea. Not suggesting it was any more or less, but that's what the campaign had said. But yeah, there's a crowd there for it. Spoke for about 2 hours, actually. Pretty confident. Went over the Packers game a little bit. That's ballsy. You doing that kind of stuff. Covering the kickoff there, probably wrapped up around 4 o'clock, hitting the campaign trail, hitting several different topics.
Former President Trump taking the stage in Wisconsin yesterday, his fourth visit in 7 days to the Badger State, promising mass deportations of undocumented immigrants.
We're not going to be stuck with them. We're going to be bringing them back, and we're going to shove them right down their throat.
while attacking the Biden administration's response to Hurricane Helene, despite praise from several Republican governors.
Yeah, I should point out that several governors, including the governor of South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, and North Carolina, have all mentioned how the federal government has been helping them with the post-Helene situation there. That has been a big talking point in the Trump campaign, is that FEMA and the government hasn't done anything. We're hearing otherwise from several of those GOP governors. Now, the former president did encourage people to return their mail-in absentee ballots as soon as they possibly can, or use in-person absentee voting opportunities. So starting now, pushing, hey, get that early voting done. So again, about a two-hour speech. So what, the Packers game started at 3:25, so a confident play there, talking over the kickoff. I'm sure people may be checking that out.
There was some checking. I was at an event yesterday, right in the teeth of it. I heard somebody talking about the game because I'm on record delay, and I'm like,
Yep. Tomorrow night is the CBS 60 Minutes primetime special. No, it's Monday night. Tonight. This primetime special is tonight. They do this every 4 years. They have a half hour with each candidate. Former President Trump had originally accepted an invitation to be part of that primetime event, but he pulled out last week. So tonight's episode will only feature the Vice President, Kamala Harris. CBS's Bill Whitaker asking Harris about Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu charting his own course regarding the war, despite the U.S. supplying Israel with billions of dollars.
Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
You can expect a media blitz from the VP this week. She's going strong now in a lot of the interviews. VP also sat down with Spotify's Call Her Daddy podcast. The host is Alex Cooper there. You may never have heard of this podcast, but it does very well. Podcast is the second most popular in the world. More than 5 million downloads per week, mostly by women. So there's a play there for the VP to chat with Alex Cooper. As for this week, President Biden is in Milwaukee tomorrow talking lead pipes. But per the usual, as of now, we don't know where he's going to be. Usually they keep that close to the vest until just before the visit.
That's an issue he's brought to Milwaukee before. Didn't he stop at a local plumber?
It sounds right, yeah.
Stopped by and visited him.
Like on the north side there,
Featured the work that he was doing in replacing these lead laterals and things like that.
Very curious to see how much is policy and how much is campaign stumping. Because for a while there, he said, I'm going to be out there. I'm going to be out there campaigning on behalf of the VP. And haven't seen it as much, but from time to time, he's done a little bit.
So that is ahead this week. No other major visits from the former president and former President Donald Trump. That rally was more like what he has wanted to do.
Yeah, outdoor
rally. Wanted to
hold
a similar type of rally when he was at his stop a little over a week ago in Prairie du Chien. But the Secret Service said they couldn't accommodate. Clearly, they were able to now with the UN General Assembly done to accommodate that. Again, Juneau's in the middle of nowhere, right, in terms of geography. It's wide open space. That's Dodge County.
Just east of Beaver Dam.
But Butler, Pennsylvania was also in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So to suggest that, well, we're out in a rural area, so it's fine. Like, clearly the rules have changed. The rules of engagement have changed on that issue. So they were able to accommodate that large request. Just a few weeks to go, and that early in-person voting starts in just a few weeks from now. You're allowed to do that about 2 weeks out from the election. Packers tight end Tucker Kraft with a big score. What he said allowed him to break free, coming up at 6:45.
The NTSB is now investigating a Frontier Airlines flight from San Diego to Vegas this weekend that appeared to catch fire while in the air. I don't know if you saw any of the video of this when it landed. Giant flames underneath the plane when it landed in Vegas.
From the Airbus 321 as it hits the tarmac.
We were just in shock. We're like, you see this on movies and shows, but you don't expect it to happen to you.
The pilot declaring an emergency after detecting smoke in the cockpit. The wheel melted, firefighters dousing the flames. Federal investigators sending the cockpit voice recorder and flight data to the NTSB lab in Washington, D.C. for evaluation.
ABC's Irene Shaw there. The incident happening Saturday afternoon. 190 passengers on board didn't even realize it was happening. Pilot just noticed that there was some issues in the cockpit with smoke. So they're like, hey, we got to put this down quick. They were headed to Vegas anyway. But yeah, when that thing landed, boom, there's flames underneath.
Not how you want to end your flight.
No.
Right. Although,
or start one.
Flames of any kind.
Right.
Right. Associated with aviation. Not good. 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. At 6:42 on this Monday morning. We had a lot of marching band this weekend, E.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of band.
The big competition.
Well, so if your high school band competes, so some bands just play at the football games and do their thing, and then others across the state are competitive, and so we have these big band shows, big band competitions. So Greendale, where my kids are and are involved in band, we participated in and competed in the band show in Oak Creek yesterday during the Packer game. And then we hosted a show Saturday night. Saturday night was our turn to host, and so we had, man, it was at least 10. It was double-digit bands.
Cool.
And it's all hands on deck, as you know, like your track, right?
Yep,
it's all parents. Somebody's raking the pits, and somebody's doing the timing and whatever else. So it's all hands on deck to put on this big show. So my job was...
To build the set?
No. Right? I'm not. The band dads are after me all the time. Like, we build these giant things, and we're like, oh, you got to help them. Like, let's all stay in our lanes.
So you're
so
PA guy.
I get tracked to PA. You want a little sample?
Yes.
Proud to present in Class A performance, drum major Sonia Tinson and the Cutaway High School Marching Band. Joining us today from Merrill, Wisconsin, please welcome the Merrill Marching Jays and the Cedarburg Marching Bulldog and the Columbus Marching Cardinals. Okay, so very good. The marching this, the marching that.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
This is our band plan.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, no, you didn't say thank you.
It was an entire evening of butchering poor kids' names.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my.
I'm sure it was fine.
It's just, you know, everybody had announced the drum majors, and then there were the directors, and the director of this, and the color guard person.
I'm sure you pored over the script for hours.
I did.
I know you did. I'm not being sarcastic.
But at some point, like, you don't know, and it's timed pretty tight, so I can't always find a band director and say, like, hey, how do you, you know.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of at my spot, so you just sort of do the best you can, but a lot of names. As far as I know, some kids were happy.
And how did Greendale do?
On Sunday, we won. That was largely expected. I think we were only competing with another school, other school in our class.
I see.
You know, it's based, in Wisconsin, we do it based on size of school. And then when you do national competition, they usually do it on size of band. So that a little bit more challenging for a smaller school.
Sure.
Very, very nice weekend. So thanks to Oak Creek for hosting us, and thanks for everybody for putting up with me. On Saturday night, 6:45, sports up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Packers now 3-2 on the season. We've got the 2-3 Cardinals coming to town this week. Road win Sunday in Los Angeles, shorthanded at the wide receiver position. Jordan Love found another pair of hands early in the third quarter.
Here's Love. Wide open. He's got Kraft. Tight end's running with stiff arm. Kraft's going the distance. Tucker Kraft.
CBS Sports on the call. Jim Nance there. Kraft a 66-yard touchdown.
Like trying to stop a semi-truck. You ain't stopping, man.
Tucker, anything special you did on that big play?
No, I just ran the play that was called.
Okay.
All right. Now they called this play. He threw it to me. I caught it.
Nice.
And then I just destroyed guys on the way down to the end zone. Packers fans were pretty loud at the game. You probably noticed. The players did.
Yeah, this is an incredible atmosphere. So far, great place to win at, that's for sure. Packers fans, they traveled really well. Defense played really well. And it was fun to get back out there and get back into our regular cadence. As some of the Rams fans were heading out of the stadium, get an early start home.
Yeah, send them to the parking lots early.
Rams fans?
Right. Were there any? My goodness. Mentioned being short of wide receivers, Christian Watson reportedly making good progress on his injured ankle. Question this week will be, what is the status of Romeo Doubs? He was suspended for this game. Sports Illustrated reporting that he missed practice twice, apparently upset over how he's being used or not being used, apparently, in the offense. Wes Tausch about that coming up at 7:50 this morning.
The Vikings are undefeated, 5-0 now. They beat Aaron Rodgers and the Jets in London. Aaron Rodgers threw a pick six on Sunday. It never happens.
Boy, how much do you think he likes going to London?
Yikes. Yeah.
It's 0-2 across the continent.
Bears beat the Panthers. The Lions had a bye. The Steelers fell to the Cowboys on Sunday night. But Pewaukee native T.J. Watt enters the 100-sack club. He is the second fastest player ever to reach 100 sacks in just 109 games. So his brother J.J. tweeted, "Welcome to the 100 Sack Club. We've been waiting for you, TJ. New guy buys everyone else a car. I don't make the rules. That's just the way it goes."
I'm sorry. That's what happens. I had to do it.
Yeah, right. So just everyone gets a car. Lastly, Bucks played last night. They are back in action on the hardwood. They fell to the Pistons. Preseason action, 120-87.
Regular season's got to be... Preseason for NBA is rather short.
Yeah, right? Usually right around Halloween time you start seeing the games rolling.
Let's go. 6:49 in Wisconsin's Morning News. This morning, Jews across the world will mark 1 year since the Hamas terror attacks. Militants coming across the border of Israel with Gaza, raping, killing, and capturing Israelis, touching off a year of devastating conflict in the Middle East this morning in Israel.
Somber ceremonies in Israel marking 1 year since Hamas launched a surprise cross-border attack, killing more than 1,200 people. Family and friends of victims gathered at the site of the Nova Music Festival, where more than 300 people were killed, holding a moment of silence at 6:59 this morning, the exact moment Hamas launched the attack.
It's ABC's Ines de la Cotera. The hostage crisis remains. There are still families who, on that day, know their loved ones were captured and endured not only that horror, but horror every day since.
Hamas took about 250 people hostage. More than 100 remain missing, a third of whom are believed to be dead.
I never believed it would take so long.
The family of Nama Levy, who turned 20 while in captivity, says it's been several months since they heard about her condition or whereabouts.
So this morning we are going to spend some more time on the story just after 8 o'clock. And Eric, you know, I struggled with something recently as it relates to all of this, and I'll share it with you today. I had an opportunity to view a documentary about October 7th, and this was a deliberately graphic and real compilation of video that was assembled, security camera video, videos from Hamas themselves, an actual record of the atrocities committed that day. It was put together by the Israeli Defense Forces, and the Consulate General of Israel to the Midwest brought that documentary to Milwaukee about a week or two ago with the purpose of screening it and sharing it not only with Jews in our community but also with other, I guess you would call them, influential people or people who have some sort of platform.
Sure.
And the idea, I guess, was for people to actually see, not to talk about, not to read about, but to see what happened.
To make it more real.
Yeah. I guess they counted me among those who might be able to share those stories. So the Jewish Federation here in Milwaukee, with whom I traveled to cover the March for Israel in Washington last fall, invited me to be among those to see the film. I didn't do it. I didn't go. And I wrestled with the decision about that because journalistically we have a responsibility to be those people. We're the ones who read the criminal complaint that is brutal and horrible about a homicide or a terrible case, and then filter that out down to something that's digestible here on the radio.
Right.
So I take that, you take that responsibility really seriously. But also, once you see that, you can't unsee that. And so, for two reasons. One was selfish. I didn't want to. I just didn't want to go through the psychological trauma of seeing that. So that was selfish.
We should point out, though, you not wanting to do that wasn't because you were putting your head in the sand.
No, right. We're quite aware of what's going on.
Right.
But to actually see it with your eyes is different. The other thing was, and I thought about this, who was the young man from Marquette?
James Foley.
Right. Yeah. Who was executed by ISIS. Mm-hmm. There was video of that for a while online. And I remember when that first popped out and I thought, do I have a responsibility to see him being executed? Much like what we're talking about here. And I decided that, you know, I didn't want to see that. But also, like, isn't that what they want? Isn't that what ISIS wanted, for people to watch that, to see that, and to be horrified and frightened and scared? Mm-hmm. And so for that reason as well, I made that choice in that situation. So I share that with you on this day, a decision I made about that. We are going to speak after 8 o'clock with Mark Shapiro and Moshe Katz We've had both on the show before, President and CEO of the Jewish Community Center, Shapiro, and Moshe's a friend whom I've known for years. Both did see this film, and so we'll get their thoughts and reactions to that later this morning. I'll mention this additionally as well as to the raging conflict, because there are expected to be protests in the U.S. across the world, pro-Palestinian protests decrying Israel's continued response. IDF forces continue even this morning their assault on Gaza, where Hamas is based.
Israeli tanks rumbled into northern Gaza for the third time since the war began. Airstrikes hitting a mosque and a school in a designated safe zone, reportedly killing 45 people. The Israeli military says it targeted Hamas command posts. Israel also intensifying airstrikes in southern Lebanon, targeting leaders of the Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah. A senior U.S. official says Israel is now considering targeting Iranian military bases and oil infrastructure.
And it's Dela Katera again from ABC. So this is the conflict has broadened as well, with Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, to the north of Israel, and then, of course, Iran involved in all of this as well, with last week's missile strikes coming from Iran directly. Somber day, but also a day of heightened alert for multiple nations in the Middle East. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.